Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting, very hot and slightly sweaty episode. We do apologize if you can smell us coming out through your speakers.
Yeah.
But it is very hot in the studio today.
A little glistening forehead.
It is.
Cheeks.
Yeah, we are recording this mid-June 2023. And that is, did you know, 10 years after Nelson Mandela's death.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, what a coincidence.
10 years, yeah. Nelson Mandela died in 2013.
Hmm.
And that has a large bearing on what we're talking about today.
Righto.
Because many people remember Nelson Mandela dying back in the 1980s while he was still in prison.
Hmm, yes, I have heard this.
And even so much that they have vivid recounts of his funeral from that time.
Hmm, that's interesting.
It's interesting. It's become known as a Mandela effect.
Hmm, yes, the old Mandela effects.
Yeah, and that's what we're covering today. It was named by a paranormal researcher called Fiona Broom.
Hmm, nice.
After the death of the political leader, Nelson Mandela. Obviously, because so many people remembered him dying in the 80s, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. These are commonly known as false memories, but for it to happen en masse like that, so many people, thousands, maybe even millions of people saying that they remember him dying back in the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah.
It took on a term of its own, the Mandela effects, and that's what we... I don't think a lot of people know what Mandela effects are these days.
No.
So this might be a little bit of a redundant episode, but we're going to try and cover it.
I didn't actually know that's why they're called Mandela effects.
Yes.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's connecting the dots there.
So, yeah, the collective term for it, I guess, is where a large group of people all share the same false memory of a historical event or sometimes it could be a film scene or a logo or a picture.
A product.
Yeah. Differently from what is actually historically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I'm going to bring up that I know you're not going to know about is, do you know the very famous oil painting of King Henry VIII? You know, the big fat king with a ginger beard.
He's wearing a red coat.
Red regal, very patterned.
Yeah.
A lot of people remember him having a turkey leg in his hand.
Right.
Never happened. I've actually used that photo as stock footage on a couple of our YouTube videos, and I can confirm there is no turkey in his hand.
Hasn't he just got his hands on his waist?
I think so, yeah.
But a lot of
people remember him half eating a turkey leg.
Yeah. What is it with back in the day where they just used to have big old turkey legs?
Well, I guess because he was a king, I suppose, and king would have the most lavish meals out of anybody in the country. If anybody could afford a turkey leg, particularly as turkeys aren't even English, and Henry VIII was alive in the mid-1500s, I very much doubt that he would have been munching on a turkey leg. More likely a chicken or a guinea fowl or something like that, but probably not a turkey.
What's funny as well is, I don't know if your family's the same, but at Christmas, no one seems to want a leg.
No one seems to want turkey, to be honest.
Yeah, very true. I quite happily have Christmas without turkey. Unless it's Auntie Julie's turkey.
Oh, yeah. Auntie Julie, who does the most amazing Brussels sprouts in the world.
She does, indeed. Yeah. Or little cubes of pancetta.
You will still never get me to eat your Aunt Julie's Brussels sprouts, I'm afraid. But Brussels sprouts are not the theme of today's episode. We are talking about Mandela effects. And this became a thing around about 2013 and sort of progressed over the next few years, where more and more people were coming up with more and more things that they remember, and groups collectively remembering false memories and false histories. And some people wanted to hold CERN responsible for this.
Right.
You know, CERN, the big science investigation institute in mid-Europe, yeah?
Yeah.
Where the Large Hadron Collider is and that. Yeah, well, some people wanted to blame them for it, claiming that experiments carried out at the research institute around the same time, around 2013, created an interdimensional portal that ended up trapping large quantities of people in the wrong dimension, which is why they now have memories that are false for the dimension that they're in.
That's fantastic.
it's a plausible explanation, I suppose, in a way, but CERN denied that they were doing anything that could create that kind of effect. I mean, there were rumours around the time, I can't remember exactly which year it was, but CERN wanted to create a miniature black hole, didn't they, in a controlled...
Yeah, I remember that.
And that everyone was up in arms going, no, they're going to destroy the world gets sucked into this black hole. Now, some people claim that that is what created this interdimensional portal that we were trapped in, and hence the Mandela effects. But I still think that's very far-fetched. I don't know. I mean, I can remember hearing about it, and maybe CERN said that they were trying to create a miniature black hole. I don't know how the hell they could do that. I don't want to go too deep into it, but I know how black holes are created, the science of it, in physics.
And please don't melt my brain.
I'm not going to, but how they could quite go through that in a miniature way, I just don't understand. So I would like to push that to one side. I mean, if you believe that theory, then fair enough. That's your decision. Everybody's got their own theories and their own points of view on this. But I seriously hold that in disregard, to be honest.
Yeah, so is it more plausible that a black hole created a different dimension and we all went through
that? Well, yeah, I mean, there are theories that black holes are a gateway to a different dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can see why this theory came about.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to prove that a black hole is a gateway to a different dimension, because if you go into a black hole, there's no coming back out of one.
Mm. Yeah.
Literally. And I'm not going in deep into physics. I could, but I'm not going to. But just trust me, if you ever cross the event horizon of a black hole, you're not coming back. So there's no switching of dimensions going on, you know?
I mean, is it just possible that these companies and things changed it at some point and just didn't tell people?
I think so, yeah. Particularly, one of the things that have come up over the years, I remember when I first started studying Mandela effects, probably around about, it was a couple of years after it first came out, maybe 2015, 16, something like that. There were car manufacturers that were called into question.
Yeah.
The Ford badge. Obviously, like way back when, Ford was just written on the front of a car in plain silver letters, chrome letters or whatever, you know, capital letters, F-O-R-D. And that was what it was. But somewhere around the late 80s, early 90s, they changed it for that iconic blue badge.
Yeah,
you know, with the swirly, curlative writing.
The nice writing on it.
And some people claim to remember the F in the Ford badge, the little cross in the F that goes halfway up the capital F, should be near enough straight. Mm-hmm. But Ford put a little curl on it, a little loop the loop at the end of it, for whatever reason. Now, I don't, this to me is not a Mandela effect, because I can remember seeing that on an advert back in the early 90s and thinking, that's a weird way to put to make an F. Mm-hmm. I recall seeing that little loop being, that little loop the loop being there and thinking, that's a bit odd.
Yeah, yeah.
So that for me is not a Mandela effect. Other people, it is. Another car manufacturer is Volkswagen. Mm-hmm. The VW sign that's on the front of literally every single Volkswagen does have a small space separating the V on the top from the W at the bottom.
Yeah.
A lot of people claim that it shouldn't.
It's a, that's a weird one, because I swear I have seen like camper vans with it all blends into one. There's no line. But then when I think that's interesting,
like on the old bay window camper vans where the VW is just in massive paint the front. Now that one's an interesting one. I've never really looked at that.
When you think about it, if you're painting or got a sticker of the logo, why would you put that line? Because it would look a bit out of place with a stencil.
If it was like a decal or something that you're spreading, it'd be easier to do without the space there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's what people are remembering. You might be onto something there, Josh.
Yeah.
The one for me, though, the one that really is kind of a Mandela effect for me is Volvo. Mm-hmm. Because I always remember Volvo. It was the blocky letters, you know, the capital letters, Volvo, just written across. And then through, and it was usually on the front of a car, and then through Volvo was just a diagonal line going from the top of the grill to the bottom of the grill.
Yeah.
There was never a circle around it. There was nothing. It was just Volvo with a diagonal line. And nowadays, Volvo is within a circle that then has an arrow sticking out the top of it to make it look like the international sign
has
for
an arrow.
Yeah, for masculinity. You know the circle with an arrow coming out for male?
Yeah.
That's what it's inside of these days. And you look on any Volvo that's on the road... And it's inside. And I want to know when that happened.
Because I always thought it was a line as well.
It's just a line.
Hmm. Interesting. That's one Mandela effect.
That is one that actually affected me. Because I don't know at what point that arrow became part of Volvo's trademark.
Yeah. Yeah. The one for me that always gets me is the... I've written it down. Is the Pikachu one.
Mm.
Is... I swear he used to have, the end of his tail used to be black.
And How many tattoos have you seen of Pikachu with that black on the end of the tail with a little, like, stripy line, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not, like, a direct across his tail. It's got, like, a zigzag line to it, and then the end of his tail is black.
And I've seen, like, action figures, and I swear, I need to dig it out, but I'm pretty sure... Actually, no, I can't dig it out because I sold them all. I had Pokemon cards. And I had a big old folder, and I had like three or four different types of Pikachu card.
Right.
And I'm sure one of them definitely had like a black tail in the forest.
Unfortunately, you sold all your Pokemon cards.
Yeah, got me my other car. So
now somebody's got a rare Pikachu with a black tail.
Oh, possibly, yeah.
You might have been able to sell that for four times the amount.
Yeah, very true. But no, that always used to get me, because I used to think, no, there was definitely a black tail. But then... The other one that gets me, that I swear to this day, they definitely changed it. Like, we need to look it up after this. The Monopoly man. I always pictured him having a...
Having a monocle.
Apparently he never did. On.
No, Mr. Moneybags. Yeah, no, that is a very, very popular one. And I'm guilty of that one as well. When I think of him, I always think of him with that little monocle on his face, with a little chain going down to his top pocket.
Yeah, but do you know why? I think I've worked out why I think for that one. I don't know if anyone else is the same. Do you remember that brand of peanuts? It was Mr. Peanut. I'm pretty sure he had a monocle. I don't know if it was an American company.
It might have been. I'm not massively familiar with that.
There was a mascot for a peanut company, and he had a walking stick or a cane and a monocle. I think I've just got those two mixed up because they were kind of like a similar character, except one was human and one was a peanut.
We might have found something there.
The other one is people think that the Pringles guy had a monocle. I've always known it as not having a monocle, but some people have.
I don't remember that. Maybe that is one, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
How many dimensions have we all come from?
I mean, I think as we're explaining it, a lot of it could just be that they've just changed it over the years.
And it could be, yeah. Like the Volvo sign. I mean, if you look back on really, really old Volvos, maybe you will see just that Volvo badge with a diagonal going through it, and at some point they've updated it. Yeah. And that's the thing. Companies can do that, can't they, from time to time, and people may not notice it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years later they all go, oh, it's a Mandela effect. So, you know, that could be something as well. Should we dive into some of the really famous ones?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Right, because this is one that always frustrates me, because we're from the UK. Mm-hmm. All right, you grew up in America, so maybe you might relate to this one. But a big one in America is the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to call them the Berenstain or Berenstain Bears. Yeah. But they were written by a husband and wife whose surname were Berenstain. So why would they call their bears the Berenstain Bears if they were Berenstain?
I mean, I can't relate to that one. I think that was before my time.
Was it?
But
yeah.
I have seen the Mandela effect of surrounding that.
Yeah. Now there's one, possibly more than one, but I know of definitely at least one account where even, I think it was exposed on YouTube, where someone went through their attic and through like all their old boxes and stuff, and I actually found an old video cassette tape, you know, a VCR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And on the front box, it was Berenstain Bears.
Mm.
But when you open it up, obviously on an old VCR cassette tape, there's two labels, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
There's one in the center in between the two spools, and then there's one on its edge, which is like the last thing you see when you push the VCR into the...
Yes.
Yeah. One of those was spelt Berenstain, and the other one was spelt Berenstain.
Wow. That's interesting.
Is it a typo, or is it something that's twisted its way through the interdimensional portal and not come out quite right the other side? Who knows?
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know the Berenstain Bears here in the UK. I'd never heard of them before the Mandela effects anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up, but obviously, not familiar with them.
Yeah.
But even throughout other films and TV, you might as well bring up your big one, Star Wars. Come on. There's two Wars. There's two. Come on.
Yes.
You can come up with them both.
So what the main one is, everyone quotes Luke, I am your father.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, no, I am your father.
Yeah.
So
I think I can come up with a reason for this.
Yeah.
Because I always thought it was, no, Luke, I am your father.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm inserting that extra Luke in there, which wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout that entire, 15-minute, 20-minute fight scene at the end of Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah, it's one hell of a fight
scene. It's a hell of a light fight scene. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of talking between Luke and Darth Vader. And Darth Vader must say the name Luke at least 15 to 20 times.
He does say it a few times, yeah.
So it's already embedded in your brain.
Yeah, because he says things like, oh, trust your instincts, Luke, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Luke, no one told you what happened to your father. Oh, Obi-Wan told me you killed him. No, I'm your father. Well, technically, that's completely wrong as well. Obi-Wan Kenobi shouldn't have told him that Darth Vader killed him, his father, because technically, Obi-Wan kind of left him for dead with half his limbs missing on the side of a lava pit. Obi-Wan pretty much killed him.
Obi-Wan pretty much did kill him. I think Obi-Wan kind of left him for dead, not expecting him to
the
survive.
The Emperor to show up and revive him.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But no, this it is odd. I think I've got a little explanation of it, but, I mean, bear with me. I think that if you were to quote Star Wars and you just said to someone, no, I am your father, some people might not have seen Star Wars, but I
they
feel
might
like,
not relate to that scene.
Yeah, so,
because of the word Luke is missing, because it's repeated so many times in that last fight.
So I think people just add the Luke, I'm your father. So then people that aren't familiar with Star Wars go, oh, that's I've heard that. That's Star Wars. Yeah, I get it. That's the only thing I can think of. But the other one that a lot of people disagree, but C-3PO always had one silver leg.
Yes. Now, this you threw me off just before we started recording this episode, because I thought C-3PO started off all gold. Mm. Like in the first Star Wars, A New Hope, he was all gold. And then in Empire Strikes Back, where they go to visit Lando Calrissian on the Cloud City,
nice.
He gets deconstructed, doesn't he?
Yes.
And then Chewbacca puts him back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was that point that C-3PO picked up his silver leg.
Mm.
Because I knew that he had a silver leg, and I thought that it was from that point in the trilogy that it happened. But you corrected me earlier and said, no, he did have a silver leg all the way through it.
Yeah.
And that's something that he was even a surprise to me.
I mean, he's pretty much in the first scene in the very first film.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has got a silver leg straight away. But yeah, that's an odd one because a lot of people swear. I mean, it's also odd because I've seen action figures.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Where he has got two gold legs and things like that. So again, if we're going by the logic of certain products are changed to appeal and also... I don't know. I just think if you're doing toys and action figures that are all gold, then and a kid sees that for the first time instead of the film, they're going to think that he's all gold.
Yeah, like, yeah. And they probably did that just to sort of make the paint job cheaper.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, every right leg has to be silver.
Yeah.
But no, he's always had a silver leg.
Yeah, so. That's a weird one. Moving on, another very, very famous one, Forrest Gump.
Yes, yeah.
What was the quote?
I've always known it as life.
My mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But it was actually, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Now, to me, this is wrong, just primarily wrong, because Forrest Gump is quoting his mother saying something in present tense, looking at future tense. So saying life is like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get, is grammatically correct.
Yeah.
Whereas saying, my mama always said, life was like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get, it sounds wrong anyway.
It does, yeah.
But if you watch the film, that is what he says. Life was like a box of chocolate. I've double-checked this. It is actually on the film. But I remember not quite 10 years ago, maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, when I first started looking into Mandela effects. I don't know if you'd still be able to find it now, but on YouTube, there was an alternative camera angle filmed at the same time as they did that scene where he's sat on a bench with a young woman and he offers her some chocolates, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah.
Excuse me. And that's when he says that iconic line. Now, in the film, the camera is straight onto the bench. They're facing straight towards the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in this YouTube video that someone uploaded saying this is proof of the Mandela effect, there was another camera off to the side filming them from about 45 degrees.
Yes.
And in that clip, you can clearly hear Tom Hanks saying, "Life is like a box of chocolates."
Like an alternative scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's the movies. They film things multiple times from multiple angles. But I think, largely, actors are required to read the lines the way they are. Particularly Tom Hanks, you know, he's a very esteemed actor. He's going to get his lines right. There's not too much improv in most of his films, from what I can gather. They're not generally comedy films where they allow that sort of thing.
Mm.
So I can't see why he would get his lines wrong in one scene.
Yeah, he's not known for improv either, really.
No, not really. So
he's quite an established actor.
So that one really is an interesting one for me because I have literally seen both sides of it. I've heard both phrases.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I remember it, life is like a box of chocolates.
It sounds better, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It
sounds better.
Why they'd wanted to say life was like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's like that one we saw earlier where it's, we've always known it as E.T. Phone Home.
Mm-hmm.
But it's apparently E.T. Home Phone.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, if you watch the film, that's what he actually said. E.T. Home Phone. Well, obviously he's an alien, he can't speak English properly anyway, but, I mean, that is just as fractious as you can get, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, little side note, E.T. used to and still does terrify me.
Really?
Yeah, I used to have a real, like, fear of E.T. My mum bought me like a little E.T. soft plushy toy.
All right.
And she gave it to me as a gift and I screamed and ran out of the room because I just thought he was like a weird little wrinkly man.
To be honest, I don't blame you. I'm probably going to get slated for this now, but unpopular opinion, I don't rate E.T. as a film.
No, I don't either, mate. No, you're not alone there.
To be honest, like, and that actually goes for quite a few Steven Spielberg films. I know he's like a very decorated director, you know, far more famous than we're ever going to be. And, you know, but like some of his films are tripe, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that way about, is it AI?
Yeah.
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 I mean, there are certain films he knocks out the park.
Oh, he has done some brilliant ones.
You're like, yeah, I can see why he's got Oscars and he's done this. And
yeah.
But then one
real good one that I think he did in recent years, Ready Player One.
Yeah, yeah.
That was real good. Real film. Good.
Yeah. But then there are the odd one where it gets rave reviews and everyone's like, have you seen it? It's so good. There's multiple layers.
Critically
to
acclaimed, Oscar award winning. Yeah,
and you watch it. And think, it's all right.
Yeah. I probably won't watch it again.
But no, you're not alone on that one, mate. I mean, It's hard to say with Steven Spielberg because I think he's got, people love E.T.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's better films.
I mean, I guess in its time, because it was made in, 1976 or something like that, I guess at the time it was groundbreaking with its, like, special effects and that sort of thing, you know. And today, you know, any film can knock it out of the water, can't it? For its time, I suppose, we've got to give it some credit.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it's not a Mandela effect, but while we're on the subject of E.T., because I don't know if it'll come up again in a podcast, very quickly, little fact for you. He was told to make a game for E.T.
Oh, yes.
Have I mentioned this on the podcast already?
I don't know if you have, but I think it's. I don't think this is unknown. You're going to tell us about how he called all it the games cartridges all in and went out into the middle of the desert and buried them.
Yeah, because the game was so bad.
Now, do you believe that those games have never been found since those?
Yeah, as far as I know, they haven't been found.
They have.
They've been found.
Yeah, I was actually watching a YouTube video the other day where they dug them all up.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't know if they managed to get all of them, but they did reclaim.
I think
there
was like 500 copies or something like that.
Yeah.
But is the game as bad as they say?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason they buried them. Yeah. What other Mandela effects you got for me?
Okay, so, all right. Well, we've covered cars. Mm. We've covered some, like Monopoly Man. We've covered films, some TV programs that we haven't mentioned yet.
Oh, yeah.
Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Now, this one is a very big Mandela effect for me because I can honestly remember Looney Tunes being spelt L-O-O-N-E-Y.
Yeah.
T-O-O-N-E-S.
Yeah.
Or T-O-O-N-S. But there was definitely tunes, as in cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense.
Yeah, Roger Rabbit and all that. They were tunes.
Yeah.
And it was Looney Tunes. But any Looney Tunes video you watch, tunes is spelled tunes, as in music.
Yeah, T-U-N-E-S.
That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Because the cartoon, all right, maybe some of the old Tom and Jerry card. Well, they're not even Looney Tunes, are they? But they were more based on music than whatnot. But like the Looney Tunes, they weren't based on music per se.
No, exactly.
So why it's become Looney Tunes rather than Looney Tunes, as in cartoons? That was baffling to me because I honestly remember it being T-O-O-N-S.
Yeah. And the thing is with that, that's probably one of the ones where you go, maybe they changed it. But I don't think they did because it's been around for so long.
I mean, a big one would be is Porky Pig turns up at the end of the episode and goes, that's our people.
Yeah.
That would be a mental one, wouldn't it? Because what was it meant to be? That's our folks.
Yeah.
Imagine if that changed. Well, that's almost as iconic as actual Looney Tunes itself.
And that's the only musical bit, isn't it, at the end?
But it's not just Looney Tunes. Scooby Doo.
Yeah.
Apparently, that one has a Mandela effect as well. Do you want to explain that one?
Yeah. So I'm guilty of that. I always thought Shaggy had like an Adam's apple. So like when he
big old Adam's apple.
Yeah. Like when he was scared or, you know, popping his head out somewhere.
Walling around.
You know, little scared Adam's apple.
Zoinks!
Apparently he never had an Adam's apple on show. It was always just a straight flat neck.
So I'd clearly remember there being an Adam's apple on Shaggy.
I know, man. It's weird. When you look into these Mandela effects, you're like, am I going crazy?
It is. It is a bit like that, isn't it? So, yeah, that's a weird one. In popular music, there's a very big one. Big English band, Queen.
Yeah.
We are the champions.
Mm-hmm.
How does that song end, Josh? How does it end?
Because we are the champions. Ooh. Of the world.
No, it doesn't. No, right, okay. So let's clear this one up because this one's actually quite a hot debate in the Mandela effect. A lot of people say, no, Freddie said of the world at the end of the song. And if you listen to the actual record, he doesn't. It just ends with we are the champions and fades out.
Mm-hmm.
But at least at Live Aid in 1985, was it? I think. don't quote me on that one. At Live Aid, the concert, massive concert in, you know, favour of Africa and helping people of Africa. The Queen was one of the biggest bands, and they played We Are the Champions, and Freddie Mercury. And you can look this up on the film Bohemian Rhapsody as well. I think even on that, he does finish up by going, of the world, just on his own. Yeah. All the band have stopped playing and he just does that at the end. He may have done that in many, many live performances. which is why people remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't on the record.
Mm. So he'd done it live, but not on the actual...
Quite possibly, yeah. He might have done it almost every time live, just because it's a good way of finishing the song.
Yeah, maybe getting people around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because Freddie Mercury's best frontman ever, wasn't he? Let's face it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he took that little, couple of bars to himself and made that gesture and sang those words. Mm. But yeah, on the original record, it wasn't there.
Yes. Do you know the other music one that bugs me? That I always thought they've changed that. Go on. Do you remember the music video for Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears?
With
the red... like
the catsuit, wasn't it? Yeah, real tight, yeah.
Do you remember her having a headset? Like a black headset?
Oh, my God, now you're asking.
Yeah, well, if you do remember. Because a lot of people do.
Well, I know Britney used to have a headset on stage.
Mm.
In the video, I wouldn't imagine she did.
Yeah, see, a lot of people remember her in the video having like a little black microphone headset, but she never did.
I would say that doesn't surprise me, to be honest, because I would say people probably do get confused with watching live footage of her on stage where she does have that little wiry microphone on her cheek, sort of taped to her cheek, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But in a music video, I mean, how many music videos have you seen of bands playing their instruments? They're not even plugged in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a pet hate of mine, by the way.
Yeah.
To put a microphone on her that's not actually being used in a video because she's not actually singing seems pointless to me.
Yeah. Speaking of your pet hate, did you ever see that really famous clip of Muse when they were on a foreign talk show thing, a bit like Top of the Pops, and they didn't want to lip sync? But they were told, you have to lip sync.
So they swapped places.
And they're all just kind of stood there, not even playing anything.
That was really good, actually. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Credit to them, man. That's awesome. Power to them.
Yeah. But anyway, there are so many Mandela effects out there. There's no way we're going to be able to list them all. So I think we should probably start bringing this to a close.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about putting Mandela effects to the paranormality scale? How believable? I think some of them are quite believable.
Yeah, a lot of them. I mean, we've gone through a few that have actually, we've witnessed and affected us growing up. So Mandela effects are going to be quite high for me. Because I firmly believe that there's a lot more as well that we haven't even touched on.
Oh, yeah.
I did actually have another song by, it was Annie Lennox, The Eurythmics.
All right.
But I can't even think of the lyrics, so I won't go into it. But a lot of the same thing with Queen.
Walking on Broken Grass?
No. what's the other one? Travel the World and the
Seven Seas.
There's something about that song.
Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams, there's a... there's a bit in that that people remember differently, and then you listen back to it, and you're like, oh, I always thought it was this other. Anyway, that's another one that affected me. So there's quite a few. So I think I'm going to give Mandela effects. I'm going to go straight in with what is on the tip of my brain, and that is an 8.9.
8.9?
Yeah, 8.9.
Oh, crikey. I was floating somewhere around 7 to 8. So, well, I think some of them... are very explainable.
Yeah, yeah.
Blaming CERN, I don't think, is a viable option.
I'd forgotten about that, to be honest.
Yeah, for the whole interdimensional portal thing created by CERN. Mm-hmm. I think there's many other ways that possibly, if Mandela effects are to be believed, that we have crossed interdimensionally into a universe that we weren't actually born in.
Yeah,
you can't blame CERN for that. There's so many other things that could be possible cause of that. Jesus, 8.9, you said.
The only reason I'm giving 8.9 is because we've seen Mandela effects ourselves. There's more continuing to come out.
Yeah, there are new ones every year, really, aren't there?
And I feel like it's something that's not going to go away. There's stubborn people out there they're going to go, no, he always had a monocle. So, you know, while there's people like that still out there that can't admit, like, oh, maybe I thought of it wrong or something, you've got to give it a kind of high score, just in my opinion anyway, because it's never going to go away.
It's not. And like I say, having seen, like, two camera angles for Forrest Gump, where one is the new Mandela effect and one is the way I originally remember it and that sort of thing. You know, I think there is some credence. Go on, I'll go 8.5.
Yeah.
If you're 8.9, that would give us an 8.7 average.
8.7. So I'm glad you've done that, because I was about to go, I believe that's an 8.65 pirate. So I would have been wrong. So that's why you do the averages and I don't. Maths was one of the subjects I failed in school. So,
in this dimension.
Ah, yes. Yeah, if I remember correctly, I got an A in maths.
Ah, you did when I met you.
Yeah. Must be a different
Since
dimension.
Since then, you've changed. But anyway, that is Mandela Effects. Please let us know if you at home have experienced your own Mandela Effects, if you've got something that we haven't considered in that it really is one that you want to bring forward to us. Please send us an email, paranormality.uk@gmail.com. Come and tell us about it on our Discord server. You can join that. There's a link in the description, wherever whatever medium you're listening to us on. Or you can drop us a comment on YouTube if that's where you're watching us. And yeah, we just want to hear it all about it. If you've experienced Mandela effects, if you think that you're stuck in the wrong dimension and can't get back, let us know. We're not going to be able to help you, but let us know.
Yeah, and if you've got any interesting ones that aren't very common. That you think, oh, you know, I've got one that's not very common and people don't mention it enough.
We might do a Mandela Effects revisited with some of the less known ones. I mean, we tried to pick ones that aren't, you know, raging on every YouTube video and every, you know, online article that you can read.
Kind of global, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we tried to find a couple of unique ones, but at this point, Mandela effects are so widespread, it's hard to find a unique one that's no one's covered before. So
very true.
So let us know if you have one. And until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Aura. 2024 has seen a surge in high-profile data breaches, raising serious concerns about the security of personal information. This past summer, National Public Data reported a breach potentially affecting every American. That's why we're thrilled to partner with Aura. Aura is a complete online safety toolkit, which includes a variety of other features to keep you safe online, including a VPN for secure browsing, data broker opt-out to stop companies from selling your personal information, a password manager to help you create and store strong passwords, and more. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 14-day trial plus a check of your data to see if your personal information has been leaked online, all for free when you visit aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety to sign up for a 14-day free trial and start protecting you and your loved ones. That's aura.com/safety. Certain terms apply, so be sure to check the site for details.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.